Meet me, if you will, in the book of Psalm, the fifth Psalm, Psalm 5. And if you're able, when you find this Psalm 5, if you would, stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, and we'll bring our last message to you tonight from Psalm 5. And I call this message the Iron Dome of God's favor. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a little bit, but the Iron Dome of God's favor. From Psalm 5, and we're going to read all 12 verses, beginning in verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, the Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. Look at verse 7, sweet, sweet verse. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But pay special attention to verse 11 and 12, because that's where we'll build our message. He says in verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Our Father, tonight as we come before you, we thank you for those who have gathered here tonight, and Father, we know that you have a purpose in that, and so we pray that you would have liberty to work in every heart. I pray that you would give me liberty and leadership as I preach, and lead me in what I am to say, and take from my mind and my thoughts what would not help you in working in the hearts of people. And I just pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, and that I would be yielded to you as I preach tonight, as we discover your favor and your work in the life of a believer. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated, if you will. Most believe that this psalm is written of the time when David was fleeing for his life from his son Absalom, who and some of David's former soldiers. And can you imagine David being hunted by his son and being abandoned or forsaken by some of his former soldiers? David had to have just horrendous hurt in his heart and horrible discouragement because of this. And so he comes and he writes in verse 11 and 12 some truths about God, his Father, and how he, and I like this, and I'll probably say it till you'll get tired of hearing it, but how God compasses, David says, God out of a heart of affection, he compasses me about and he defends me. He with a shield of favor, he deflects things that would hurt me. He disallows things that would harm me. God, out of affection for me, with a shield, deflects and disallows and keeps things out of my life that would hurt me. God, out of favor, steps in between us and that which would hurt us, and He deflects it. And I'm just saying, isn't that a comforting verse? And do you know, you think about it, you can say, oh, pastor, I could testify of that, or preacher, I could testify of that. I know of some times God kept some things out of my life. And I say that it's marvelous that we do know that, but what I would say is more marvelous, all the things that God has kept out of our lives that we don't know. You just have no idea. I just have no idea. I mean, I can think of a few things that the Lord put up out of favor for me, put up a shield and disallowed to happen. And one day I was driving, if I could show you Arden Road Baptist Church and where it's located, and there's three hospitals at the end of that, about 5 miles down Coulter is three hospitals. And sometimes I would get a call and I would just need to immediately walk out of my office and drive down. And Coulter crosses 58th and then 45th and then 34th and so on until you got to the hospital. And all of those are major intersections. They're not little one-lane things. They're major intersections. And I can remember headed to the hospital, and what was on my mind was, what am I going to say when I get there to this family? What am I going to say to this family? And I was struck with fear when I realized that I'm driving down Coulter and I just blew through 45th Street intersection on a red light. Safely. I wouldn't recommend that. But God knew what was going on, and it's like God, out of favor for someone whose mind was on doing the ministry instead of driving, and it was like God, out of favor, shielded me from what could have happened. And not only what could have happened to me, but I could have killed somebody, which would have been, in my opinion, worse. I'm just saying to you, I can think of some times that God shielded, but what makes me rejoice even more is that I know, because of the faithfulness of my Heavenly Father, that there's a multitude of things that He shielded me from that I'm not even aware of. I call this the Iron Dome of God's favor. Right after preparing this message, I saw an article that tells about a missile defense system in the country of Israel, and they call it the Iron Dome. Did you know that missiles on a consistent basis are fired out of countries surrounding Israel into Israel? And Israel has a missile system that they can detect missiles from like 2 miles away out to 46 miles away. And you've seen it if you've seen the news. It's kind of like on the back of a big flatbed truck. Looks like a box of tubes. And every tube has a missile in it, and it's computerized. And as soon as a missile is fired, somehow radar detects that, measures, figures, calculates the trajectory, wheels that thing on its own around and shoots off a rocket and intercepts that in the sky with 90% accuracy. And they have another system that they've been working on that should be implemented, if it's not already, very quickly, called David's Sling, that'll reach out to 160 miles away. A missile fired that far out, they can pick it up and take it out in the sky with 90% accuracy. But let me give you some better news. God, with 100% accuracy, defends His children. Takes the shield, and He does that, and it's called the shield of favor, and He does that for us. Now, I'm just going to walk you through some questions, and this will be our message tonight. Number one, what is God's favor? It's more than just affection, because God loves the sinner, but the sinner does not necessarily have God's favor. So what is favor? Well, favor is the privilege that results from a relationship. The favor that God has is the privileges that result from a relationship. And David has that, because note here in verse 2, he speaks of God as my King and my God. And then he says in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear. He says, you're my God, and you hear my voice. And he says in verse 7, he's welcome in God's presence. But then you look at verse 5, and he says this about the sinner, the foolish. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. And so, see, the favor that is operational in verse 11 and verse 12 is for those who have a right relationship with God. He says, I do that for those that are my children. I do that for those that know me. I do that for those that love me. I do that for those who have embraced me. He has favor for us. So who's experienced God's favor? Well, he says here that favor is a blessing in verse 12. For that Lord will bless, and he says, the righteous. Now, I want to talk to you just a minute here. This has to be imputed righteousness. Some people feel like that they have acceptance with God because of accomplished righteousness. Some people feel like they have acceptance with God because of accumulated righteousness. But the Bible says that that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so the more goodness, the more of our accomplished righteousness that we accumulate, the filthier, the more filthy rags we accumulate. You know, folks who say, well, I'm just going to do all the good I can and then I'm going to get to heaven. Well, all you're going to do by accumulating all the good you can and supposing that's going to bring you acceptance is you're just going to stand at the gate of heaven and you're just accumulated more filthy rags that you're going to show up with. Does that make sense? But here's the wonderful thing. God has made a way for every person to have acceptance with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not our righteousness that we've accomplished. It's not our righteousness that we've accumulated. It is the righteousness of Christ that He imputes to us or He applies to us. I will read you some verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it explains it better than any place I've ever seen it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says, to wit, God, this is the explanation. This is how God made a way for you to be saved. He says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, that's us, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For He, that's God, hath made Him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, that's you and me. God made Christ, God took our sin, my sin, and imputed it to Christ. Now, Christ had no sin, but our sin was imputed to Him. And He says, and He goes on, He says, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, we have righteousness imputed to us and to our account when we, as empty, this is how I tried to explain it to the chapel, in the chapel service, we with empty hands, when an empty-handed sinner, when someone says, I don't have anything to offer you but these filthy rags, I don't deserve to be saved, I don't deserve your acceptance, but I desire it and I believe that what you did through Jesus on Calvary is sufficient to pay for sins, even mine. I'm asking Him to be my Savior. When we do that, literally you have imputed or accounted to your account the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that relationship, you have favor with God. God puts on His shield of favor and says, all right, you're mine now. And I'm going to defend you. I'm going to deflect things out of your life. I'm going to disallow things in your life that would harm you. So that brings us to, we know what favor is. It is the privileges of a relationship. We know how you get that favor. It is through embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. You have acceptance with God. You're known of the Father. You belong to Him. So number three, what does God's favor shield us from? What does God's favor shield us from? I've got good news for you. God's going to shield you from anything that'll get you cast out of His family. Him that cometh to me, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You do not have the capacity as a born-again believer to do something that will get you cast out of God's family. Now, you might do something, get your physical life taken, but you don't have the capacity to do anything that will get you out of God's favor, therefore out of God's family. He'll shield us from condemnation. Romans 8:1. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He's going to shield us from being outside of His providential working. He says all things, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. You cannot be outside of God's providential working. And listen to me, that is huge. That God around you, before you, works things for His glory in your life to prepare you so that you will experience the path that He wants you to do. He's going to shield us from anything that will keep us out of His providential working. I like the illustration of providential working. The best one I like is with when the culture got tired of John, and they took old John and they exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. And I can just see them in their minds when they put him out there, and they went something like this. We don't have to listen to his testimony anymore. Do you know what I think must have happened in heaven? God must have said, all right, that just fits my plan, because I had some things I wanted to show him. I had some things I wanted him to write. And so being there just fit God's plans. And I'm telling you that God's going to shield you from anything that's going to keep God's plan out of your life. He just does that. He's going to shield us from ever being separated from the love of God. Romans 8:35 just clearly says that we cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will shield us from any temptation that doesn't have an escape. That's good. You're not going to experience a temptation that doesn't have an escape. You say, well, I was tempted and I fell. I didn't see an escape. I guess so. You were running too fast. You blew right by the escape. You know one of the biggest, and I think we might have one perception of an escape, and God might have another, because some of God's escapes are in the form of preparation. And we might look to God and say, well, I fell into temptation because I didn't see the escape. I didn't see an escape. And He says, well, the escape was in the instruction that I gave you to be in church. Your pastor had an escape route for you. He preached on it Sunday. You wasn't there. That's what he may be saying, that escape. You say, I just didn't see the escape, so God let me down. No, you didn't take advantage of the preparation, which was God's escape for you. I'm just saying to you, there's never going to be a temptation in your life that does not have an escape. He's going to shield us from ever being without Him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I know what favor is. It is the privileges of a relationship. I know who has it. It is for those who know God through Jesus Christ. I know now what He shields me from. But here's a fourth thought. God's favor does not shield us from everything we would like to be shielded from. His favor does not shield us from everything we would like to be shielded from. For example, God does not shield us from the consequences of our disobedience. We don't get to blame God for the consequences of our disobedience. Have you learned that? We don't get to look up at God and say, well, you was going to shield me. And God says, sorry, remember I said I wouldn't be mocked, that whatsoever man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. Remember I told you that? God says, you can't blame me for that. That's your doing. That's your consequence. And I don't shield you. I've actually told you that you would reap what we sowed. So we don't get to blame God for the consequences. And under that setting, let's open it up a little bit. God's not going to shield us in this life from the consequences of natural sin. The fall. I heard day before yesterday, about a young family serving the Lord, and their little infant child died. And someone says, well, why didn't God shield them from that? Well, He doesn't shield us from the curse that came about because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. I mean, we live in this world, and you've got to understand that if you're going to try to figure out the why of some things. And you can't blame God for that. You can't blame God for the evil in this world. You can't blame God for the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. And so He's not going to shield us from that. He's not going to shield us from the evil that come about from Adam and Eve's sin. He's not going to shield us from the disease that came about from Adam and Eve's sin, or the suffering that comes about from Adam and Eve's sin. So He doesn't shield us from the consequences of our own disobedience. He doesn't shield us from anything that will grow us. He doesn't shield us from anything that will help us trust Him more. James talks about it and said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And he says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm just saying to you, He's not going to shield you from that which may be painful, but will strengthen and grow you. He's going to allow enough things into your life that's going to grow you, your maturity. He's going to allow enough disappointment so that you'll correctly value His faithfulness. He's going to allow enough human rejection so you'll correctly value His gracious acceptance. He's going to allow enough hard and harsh people into your life so you will correctly value His tenderness. He's going to allow enough health problems into your life so that we will have a heart for the sickness of others. He's going to allow enough loss and need and poverty so we will understand the treasure of having Him. You understand what I'm saying? He's not going to keep us from those things that'll grow us, nor is He going to keep us from the staging. Here's a thought. He's not going to keep us from the staging of the rapture. Think about it. He told us that what the conditions are going to be like when He comes. Perilous times. I mean, we're not going to build this beautiful, wonderful kingdom and turn this thing around and get it ready, and then God says, oh, okay, now I'll go. No, it's not that at all. The rapture is a rescue mission. The world's going to get darker and darker and more evil and more disobedient and just so repulsive to God and to God's people. And finally God says, all right, I've had it, let's go. That's not correct to say that God said He had it. He's got a plan that's not based on frustration. He's got a plan. But He's not going to keep His children from the staging of the world and the culture right before He comes. And so He's not going to keep us from those things. So here's the question, the final question. What do we do when God allows something past His shield? What do we do when God lifts His shield of favor and says, I'm letting that consequence through. I'm letting that diverse trial through. I'm letting that's going to grow them. I'm letting that through. What do we do? And that's a good question. Meet me in Ephesians, if you will, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see this. And I want you to put your eyes up on it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And keep in mind, we've talked about the shield of favor and how God uses it to deflect and disallow things in our life. But Ephesians 6 and verse 16, look what he says. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, the shield of favor was on God's arm. Remember? God was using that. And the shield of favor was used to deflect and disallow to keep things from coming into our lives. But when he lifts the shield of favor and allows something into our lives, he tells us to take the shield of faith. And he doesn't say that with the shield of faith we will disallow something or divert something. What he does say is that we will be able, with the shield of faith, to absorb and not be defeated by something. What God allows through, what he doesn't deflect, he wants us to take the shield of faith, wherewith, he says, verse 16, ye shall be able to quench. In other words, you don't take the shield of faith and deflect things that God lets through. But you take the shield of faith, and what God allows through, we're not defeated by it. We quench its fire, if you will. We quench the damage that it would cause. We quench the difficulty it would cause. And we quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So what is taking the shield of faith? It's just, it's obeying the word. It's doing what God said. Sometimes the way things appear to us, they appear to us, they don't sometimes appear to us like we were assured they were. God says he loves us, but it doesn't look like maybe he loves us. God says he's with us, but it feels like he's not with us. Taking the shield of faith says, I don't care what it looks like, God said he's with me. I don't care what it feels like, God said he's with me. I don't care how dark the culture may become, God said he would never abandon me. That's taking the shield of faith, staying in the word. Continuing to believe, continuing to love, continuing to pray, continuing to be an encouragement, continuing to come to church. That's taking the shield of faith. That is, God has allowed something past his shield of favor, and that is used taking the shield of faith and saying, all right, this hurt, but it's not going to make me quit. This hurt, but it's not going to make me stop believing. This hurt, but it's not going to destroy my testimony. This hurt, but it's not going to cause me to give up or get bitter or get angry or get frustrated or get indifferent towards God. I'm going to still believe. That's taking the shield of faith. That is saying, I don't care how dark it is, we're going to love God and we're going to serve God and we're going to please God and we're going to believe and we're just going to continue with him. That's taking the shield of faith. Several years ago, I pastored a family. This particular family was in the church when I went in 1981. Clayton and Donna Fortenberry. They're both in heaven now. But they were in the church when Janet and I went there in 1981. And they were good people. He was an office, church officer for a while. We rotated. He came on and went off, came back on. Just a good, good, good man. Probably about, 15 years ago maybe or so, he called and said, Brother Bigham, said, our grown daughter, Deborah, we just got news that she passed away suddenly. We don't understand or know much about it, but we're bringing her back home, and we want to just do a graveside and wondered if I know you didn't know her, but would you be willing to do a graveside for our daughter and for us? And I said, well, I certainly will, Clayton. And we prayed with them and met out at the cemetery, did a graveside for them. And about 2 weeks later or so, phone rang. It was Brother Clayton again. He said, Brother Bigham, said, I don't know what's going on, but he said, Deborah's grown daughter couldn't deal with her mother's death and took her life. And we're going to bring her body back, and we're going to have a graveside. Would you do a graveside for my granddaughter, Deborah's daughter? And I said, well, I sure will. Yes, I'll sure. And we prayed and got through that. And And I don't know how related it was, but about 3 weeks, maybe a little longer after that, Brother Clayton called and said, Brother Bigham said, Deborah's other daughter is in the hospital there here in Amarillo, just gave birth to a stillborn baby, and we're gonna meet at the cemetery and have a graveside, and just wondered if you would be willing to do that for us. And I said, well, I certainly will. So think with me now. His daughter, his granddaughter, and his great-granddaughter, 3 trips to the cemetery within just a short period of time. And, you know, and we, as human beings, we deal with things like that with humor. And so, you know, the family's saying, we got to stop meeting like this and all that, you know, and such. And Clayton and Donna just strong through all of that, loving the Lord, trusting the Lord, never missing service, still serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord and such. Sometime later, not very long, just pretty short, I was in the office on a Saturday morning, and the phone rang, and it's the Amarillo Police Department, and they say, Reverend Bigham? I said, yes, this is Brother Bigham. He said, do you know a Clayton Fortenberry? And I said, I do. He said, well, he's requested that I call you, and could you come to his house? Because Donna, his wife, just got up this morning, was walking across the floor to the restroom, and just fell dead. And said, he's asked if you'd come. So we did. And so just keep in mind, here in a short period of time, maybe maximum 3 months, his daughter, his granddaughter, his great-granddaughter, and now his wife. And the reason I'm telling you that is on a Sunday morning, sometime after that, I'm standing on the platform where I always am, and our auditorium kind of wraps around, and I look right over there, and there's Clayton, and he's standing there by himself, where he used to stand with his wife, Donna. And we're singing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I can see Clayton. And I'm close enough, I can see tears and muddled eyes with tears. But he's singing from a songbook, and he's singing, All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Do you know what that is? That's God allowed something through, allowed something else through, allowed something else through, allowed something else through. And on every occasion, Clayton took the shield of faith and absorbed the hurt and didn't get offended and didn't get angry and said, I'm going to still believe. He's still good. He still provides. He's been everything to me. He's provided all of my needs. And that doesn't matter if he necessarily felt it in his heart. He's trying to conform what he believes. That's taking the shield of faith. And I'm saying to you tonight that God has favor for every child of God. Now, if you don't know him, or if you're trying to gain acceptance with him through accumulated righteousness, I'm telling you, you don't have his favor, but you need it. And you can have it. You can have it. If you'll be willing to put aside your pride, empty your hands of your accumulated and accomplished works, which are really nothing but filthy rags compared to his righteousness, he will impute to you his righteousness. And then he'll be with you every moment of every day from all of eternity. And he will equip you and grace you every occasion that you have need. I'm just telling tonight, God's been good to us. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I would want to live every one of them for the Lord. Because with his favor, he just keeps things out of my life. And then when he does allow something through with the shield of faith, I'm able to quench the hurt and continue forward. Stand with me, please. Father, I'd ask you tonight.